And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host tonight, Greg Burr, sitting in for V. Paul Reynolds, coming to you live from Blueberry Broadcasting Studio 7 in Bangor, Maine. In the control booth tonight, we have that master of the airwaves, our technical guru and good friend, Norm Plord. Great to see you, Norm.
Great to see you, Greg.
Yep. We're got a good show for everybody tonight. It's going to be really interesting. So pull up a chair, lend an ear, and pour your favorite beverage and sit back and enjoy.
You do realize we are competing with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say that, though. We've got all of our listeners in here tonight. Norm, you know that.
I agree. Except I made a phone call to my sister, and she goes, "Can't talk to you. I got some company over, and we're watching the Super Bowl." I said, "Now I know where I rate."
Well, as I told some of my friends that really wanted to listen to the show tonight, but we'll be watching the Super Bowl instead. I said, "You know, you can catch us on Rewind." So they'll get us on our podcast.
That's what they get DVRs for, right?
That's right, because they don't want to miss tonight's show. They really are going to be interested in what we've got to say tonight with our guests. So. And as always, if you have a question or comment for our show or guests, please call us at 1-800-966-1039. Our program is brought to you by the Northward Sporting Journal, the best outdoor newspaper in Maine. Please check out the journal's website at www.sportingjournal.com. We're also brought to you by General Appliance on Center Street in Brewer. We want to remind all of our listeners that you can hear our show on 103.9 FM Bangor or 101.3 FM Augusta, 95.1 FM Rockland, or on our podcast at WVOMFM.com. And now we are streaming all over the world, right, Norm?
We are.
Yeah. So people can hear us from anywhere.
We got to be careful because Paul can hear us down in Florida.
The boss can hear us. Okay. We'll try to do a good job as always for Paul, for sure. Our guest tonight is Bob Waterman, accomplished deer hunter from Sebattis over in Western Maine. Bob and I will be talking about rattling tactics for big bucks. He's been successful for the last 16 years once he got onto this technique. And so he's got a lot of interesting information to put out there. And I'm an avid deer hunter. I know a lot of folks are in this area. And I think this could be a game changer, Norm, for a lot of people. Just they just take the time to listen and hear what he's got to say. I think they will try this tactic next fall. I know I will.
Put something else in the arsenal.
Exactly. But before we get to our guest, let's check out what's going on in the Outdoor Digest. Cue the music, Norm.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting, fishing, loving every day.
Early yeah, I love that intro. Love it, love it. So let's talk about ice conditions, Norm. Eastern Maine, the ice conditions have gotten a lot better. You said you've been in Phillips Lake.
Yeah, and in a cove where we're at, we had as much as a foot of ice.
Nice.
And we've been out there a couple of weeks now anyways, mm-hmm. and the least we had, I believe, was about 3 inches, 2.5, 3 inches,
okay.
About 3 inches, and
yep.
That was kind of a split between white ice and black ice.
Mm-hmm. And you said the use is way down there on Phillips. You didn't see any angles
so
out there.
So quiet. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. So. People are still being very wary. I checked in on Green Lake last week. Sue and I just went off the landing there, and there were people on side by side zipping around, and there were shacks out there, and there was a good 10 inches of ice.
Yep.
So it looked good, and I think most people were going most everywhere they wanted to.
Yep.
And I hear the fishing's been pretty good. Now I didn't check the northern end, which is the deeper end there. That's 180 feet out there, and it's the last to freeze. But so probably those if that's frozen over up there, I bet it is. It's probably a lot less than the rest of the lake, but people want to be very careful still out on the larger lakes. I know that people are fishing them now, like Green and Branch and Phillips,
sure.
Beach Hill in Ellsworth and the Brewer areas, but be very careful, be very cautious. West Grand Lake, we were like, gee, are we going to have enough ice for the opening on February 1st?
Wow.
And It's frozen over now, and I checked with guys just yesterday, and there's a foot of ice in a lot of places, but still 6 to 8 inches of ice in some of the deeper places, so people still want to be very cautious.
I'm pretty satisfied with fishing coves, so I don't necessarily wander into the middle of the lake where it could be iffy.
right. Yeah, it's hard for people to get around from, you know, different locations other than just going right across the middle of the lake from the launch site. So they don't have as many options that way if the ice isn't safe out over that deeper water.
Yeah, exactly.
They can try to, you know, pick their way along the shorelines, but in getting around some of the rocks and the inlets and things, it can be treacherous there too.
The heat sinks,
Yeah, exactly. I had a lake that I was working on this weekend. I saw a snowmobile that went through. Luckily, they were just in shallow water, and they were able to get the snowmobile out themselves. But it was half submerged, and the guy got wet, and it wasn't any fun for him.
No.
Now, the anglers that were fishing some of the waters down on Mount Desert Island, these coastal waters that were some of the last ones to freeze because it's milder by the ocean, places like Eagle Lake and Echo Lake, Hadlocks, the northern end of Long Pond. So they've been fishing those waters down there. But again, there's open water in different areas, and they want to be really careful. Tunk Lake, still open, that northern end. They are fishing some of the coves and the southern end down there, and they're catching fish. But, boy, you really want to be careful on those larger, deeper lakes for sure. So the message still is use extreme caution and just keep checking the ice often. As most of you found out this past weekend, the Down East YMCA Fishing Derby was canceled. It's one that I announced about a month or so ago, but due to poor ice conditions, they decided to cancel. They weren't going to chance it and have people trying to get out there on ice that just wasn't going to be good. Of course, a week ago we had that real, real cold weather way below zero. That really helped firm things up, so that's terrific. And so next weekend, we still have the Slims Derby that the weigh-in is over on Toddy Pond over there in Orland. That's still a go. And I think we're going to have good amount of ice most places for that derby to be a successful one. I'll be at the weigh-in, weighing and measuring fish there. And it's always a good derby. But for this year, it's going to be the only one in Hancock County that's Hancock County-wide since the YMCA one got canceled. The Mount Desert Island Derby is still on for March 4th. I'm not sure if it will happen or not. I hope so, but they're pushing it. Usually those lakes and ponds down in the MDI go out in mid-March, sometimes earlier. And we've got just warm weather. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. I hope we still have good firm ice down there come March 4th and they still have that derby because it's a wonderful one. That weigh-in is at the Tremont School, and that's Saturday, March 4th. And the Penobscot Flyfishers Cabin Fever Reliever Show will be coming to the Brewer Auditorium on February 25th and 26th. That's the start of the sportsman shows, and you don't want to miss that one. They have a lot of great vendors there, and it's just a terrific show to kick the season off for sporting shows. So that one is on the 25th and 26th. Lots of great artisans there and vendors. Don't want to miss that. And also, after a three-year hiatus, the Penobscot County Conservation Association's Orono Sportsman Show will return to the University of Maine at Orono at the Fieldhouse. That's always a terrific show. That show will be on March 10th, Friday, March 10th, through Sunday, the 12th of March. So everybody should come out to that one. It's been a long time since we've been there, and a lot of great artisans and vendors there. So get out there and come to that show. And last but not least, the state's migratory bird season dates are being proposed and are ready for comment. So you can do that through Inland Fisheries and Wildlife's website at www.mefishwildlife.com or contact the department's Becky Orff in the commissioner's office. And let them know your comments. You can view those proposed seasons online, and then let the department know what you think. So, we've got Bob Waterman. Is he on with us yet?
Yes, he is.
Okay, great. And let's take a break for a commercial first, Norm, and then we'll get right to Bob.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay, and we're back. And I just want to give a shout out to some folks that I met out on the ice, working out on the ice this weekend. Mark McShane and his dad. It was great talking with them today, as well as Tom Cole and some others like David Perkins and Ivan Porter. Guys were out there fishing, just having a great time, just loving it outside. And they love to hunt and fish. They really appreciate those fisheries out there and want to take care of them and just enjoy. It was a pleasure talking with them out there today, and as well as a lot of other anglers that I meet while I'm out there in the field. And it's just great working for them and trying to provide the best opportunities possible. And as always, folks, if you've got a question or comment for our show or guests tonight, you can call us at 1-800-966-1039. Now I want to get to our guest. Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. I know you're multitasking there, got the game on, and also doing our interview tonight. Thank you very much for agreeing to come on. This is, as I was saying earlier, this could be a game changer for me and a lot of other avid deer hunters. We're always looking for that edge, you know, and we intense hunters, we love the challenge, Bob, as you well know, because you're one of those guys too, I can tell. And so anytime we can learn, the more we can learn to hone in our craft of trying to harvest a deer out there, because it's tough. I mean, only 16 to 17% of hunters here in Maine are successful each year. And on the average, takes a hunter about, you know, they get a deer once every 10 years. That's, you know, on the average, an average hunter. So it's not easy to get a deer. My buddy Rick and I, we talk about this all the time, back and forth. We pump each other up, and it's just sheer determination that we keep going out there and believing that we're going to see a deer and we're going to be successful. But, you know, this technique that you came across, I've tried it a couple of times. And I've been successful with it a little bit, but I still hadn't believed in it as much as I should. And you came across this technique when you met a gentleman. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that story. I thought that was interesting.
Well, it's funny because on a morning, I'm gonna say a week into the season, I saw a buck that was out of this world. There's always scrapings, and mm-hmm. I've got a tree stand up that my cousin Dave Waterman helped me put up. And
yep.
So I'm up 22 feet in the air, and I was just learning this place. And I'll keep it short, but I saw a buck of a lifetime, and mm-hmm. I actually saw it jump on a doe.
Mm-hmm.
And you, of course, sights are just going on the deer, and at that very second, the sun popped up and blinded me, and I didn't get a good shot at the deer, and I did fire, but didn't touch it, and everyone ran off, and mm-hmm. So I told this guy I had talked to a few times, we're out at the local watering hole, and I'm telling stories,
mm-hmm.
and this guy was an avid rattler and grunter.
Right.
He says, "You're up 22 feet in the air. You don't have to worry about scent. You don't." And he showed me how to do it.
Yep.
You can't do it wrong. You just
okay.
rattle and bang and scrape, you know, hit the tree. And
right.
It's even good to have a rope down to a stick on the ground that'll rattle in the ground.
Yep.
And but I'd rattle for 2 minutes, wait a couple minutes, grunt 3 or 4 times in 2 minutes.
Yep.
And eventually, one usually comes out.
Wow. And you've been successful the last 16 years using this technique.
Something like that. I might have missed one, and I don't keep exact track,
right.
But it might have even been like 18 out of 19 or
yeah.
something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And this guy that you met, I mean, he was pretty nonchalant about it because you were, you know,
yeah.
you know, pretty intense, you know, in questioning him as I remember. And you said, "What?
Yeah.
You know, what about scent?" And he said, "No, I can blow my cigarette smoke on you or on the antlers
yeah.
or dump my beer over the antlers.
Yeah.
It's not going to make any
yeah,
difference."
He says, "Make sure you dump a little beer on them." And you know, in other words, his point was, well, the thing you got to think about is, it's for that 1 week or 10 weeks
mm-hmm.
that the deer is out of its mind.
Right, right.
So that was the real point. That yes. when they are in rut and they are crazy,
right.
nothing stops them.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha. And yeah. And you use synthetic antlers or in a rattling bag, correct?
I use both. Mm-hmm. I like my synthetic horns the best because mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just more fun, and you can tick on the end, and you can kind of hold them and kind of creak them back and forth, and
right.
you can just do a lot of different things with it.
Right. And you've had most of your success with in the pre-rut or peak rut?
I'd say the peak rut. I like to say that, you know, well, say the 8th to the 18th kind of sort of.
Okay. Yep.
Because it's almost, I think if you start too early,
mm-hmm.
like say there's a big buck just out of sight
yeah.
and he hears you rattling before he's crazy.
Right.
Then he might be suspicious later. I mean, they're
okay.
still smart.
Yeah.
So you hate to start too early.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, I want to talk about concealment when you're doing this, Bob. I know you're high up in the tree, and deer generally aren't going to look up that high necessarily, you know, especially if it's, you know, they come out at a distance. But for the hunters that are on the ground, you know, I've had some experience rattling on the ground, and I find that you really want to be concealed. When those deer come in and they start looking for you, and animals are pretty good at pinpointing where that sound is coming from, and if they
right.
see you before you see them, they're gone. And I've had that experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the thing. If you're on the ground, boy, everything's got to be perfect. Because
right.
they're coming to... And they're going to be circling, too. They're not just coming straight
right.
in. They're checking the wind, and
yes.
they're going to be, they don't just come dancing in front of you.
Right, right.
And it might take them a half hour. They might be only 100 yards away.
Sure.
But they're still cautious.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you'd want to be in a blind, you know, brush yourself in, you know, get in behind some trees, you know, that type of thing. Because I've had, like I say, some success. I've rattled in a couple of deer. One came in, I didn't see it. It saw me, and before I saw it, and it was gone. And then the other one, the deer came in looking for me, and I was in the thick stuff, and I saw it before it saw me, and I
yeah.
shot him. So, but that's the only success I've had, and I tried it a number of times after talking with you last fall, and nothing. And I know there's. Was deer around. I know they could hear me. I know there was bucks around. I know they could hear me, but nothing came in that I'm aware of. You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, the key, it seems like, is to be persistent. Because, I mean, you've had days, of course, where you rattled maybe 2 days in a row for all
or,
the time.
Or a week.
Okay. Almost. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Even better. So, there you go. So, that persistence right there is I think, is one of the keys. Because usually,
and I'm lucky. I can go in the morning and night. So mm-hmm. the morning, a couple hours at night. And the
right.
guys in our business are good. Oh, they say, "Bob, go hunting. We'll cover. We
nice.
Get you covered."
Nice.
So that helps to have support like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, so yeah. I mean, you want to be persistent, and because I've tried it like a number of times. You know. You know, 1 2-minute session, then the grunts, and then wait 20 minutes, and then another 2-minute session, you know, and the grunts, and then another wait 20 minutes, and then another 2-minute session. Nothing came in. I was like, oh man, I felt kind of sheepish because I was like, geez, I'm making all kinds of noise. I'm really
right.
you know, telling the deer where I am, and I must be doing
yeah.
it wrong, and they're just staying away from me. But
yeah.
that's not the case. You're just saying that,
no.
you know, you've got to.
I mean,
okay.
And you might have had one come kind of close, and then
right.
you really saw a doe. Or,
yeah.
You know, you're not. And I always had this saying, I'm up so high, and I've gotten away with murder so many times.
Yep.
I kind of have that confidence, you
sure,
know?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, you're in your stand, and of course, you are playing the wind. So, I mean, when you sneak into your stand, you're trying to be cognizant of the wind and where you think these deer usually are or where they come from, correct?
Right. I'm watching sort of a 5-acre clearing, old field.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically looking 90 degrees to my left all the way around to 90 degrees to my right.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, you can be looking to the left and then scanning around, and all of a sudden there's one standing on the right, and it's like, how did he get there?
Right. He snuck in on you. So, I mean, best habitat, I know you have your spot, but best habitat, something, a place where you can look over, where you can see, where you got some distance, whether if you're on the, if you're on the ground and you've got sort of open woods in front of you, and where you think that the deer are going to be and come from. And of course, then you, you play the wind, cause you don't want to have the scent blowing into that area where you think those deer are going to be. Or you're looking over a field like you are, or a bog. I know some guys rattle on the edge of bogs and stuff. So, you know, it's those types of situations are all good.
You know, another thing you could do there, two guys, one guy could do the rattling and the grunting and get positioned so that you could, and the other guy could do the shooting.
Sure. So you could work in tandem. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Great. And so it hold is, that thought, Bob. I'm going to break for another commercial. Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't we go to that commercial? We'll get right back to Bob. And remember, folks, when the other stations are rocking, we're talking about the Maine outdoors. We'll be right back after this message. Okay. And we're back with the Bob Waterman, accomplished deer hunter from Sebattis, Maine. And Bob, again, we appreciate you being on with us. And we had a caller and he requested that you try some rattling, do some rattling. So you prepared to do that for us tonight?
Yeah, I go. I dug my horns out.
Okay. So I don't want you to blow your
lip.
Your
phone. Yeah.
I don't want you to blow your
right here. My wife is giving me the look.
I was going to say we don't want you to blow your wife out of the room or the dog to start sounding off or anything.
Oh, and my dog might go crazy.
Okay.
So all right. Set my phone down. I'm just going to do it for like 10 seconds.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So that's a quick rendition.
Yeah.
Like, so to start, I went back to back and just smacked them as hard as I could.
Right. Yeah.
And then you can hear like little ticks, like you try to hit the end of the horn.
Yes.
On the end of the other one. And
right.
You just all different. And then I did the classic, you know, when you just rattle really fast. You
right.
hear it on the all these different shows. But it all comes into play.
Nice,
you know?
Nice. And you drag your antlers together, kind of the tines together as well.
Yeah, like put a little force on them so when you're pulling them apart, there's like a resistance, so they're kind of scraping on each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal.
And you know what's also nice when it's really cold in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
You rattle and you warm up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you're moving, right. That's always good. That's always a benefit for sure. And, you know, I've tried with my real antlers, and they work great, except they'll break. So I have to be careful with that. I've done it a couple of times where I broke antlers and things. So synthetic ones.
You don't poke yourself in the eye, too.
That's true, yeah. So I think the synthetic ones are going to be a lot better. They're even tougher than the real antlers. So,
Yeah. I've actually broken a couple of those little tines off of this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so after the 2 minutes of rattling, then you kind of wait a couple of minutes, but then you give four grunts within the next 2 minutes. Is that what you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And it, you know, I'm not sure that the grunt tube matters. Seems like.
Wow. I swear sometimes I feel like I'm not grunting very good. I feel like sometimes that, like if I do a grunt that comes out bad, I might not even grunt anymore. I'll wait for the next one.
Okay.
Because I'll go, oh man, that sounded terrible.
Okay.
Although one time I did a loud grunt that sounded fake to me.
Yeah.
This buck came out just charging, you know.
Oh, wow. He's interesting. I watch the videos on YouTube and I watch them grunting and I go, man, they're not doing anything different than I do. Sometimes they even do it louder than I do or more. And I'm like, geez, man.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like, you don't often hear deer grunt in the woods. I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard them, you know, does blat. Of course, I heard them blow a lot and things, but grunting is not something you hear.
You jump them and catch up to them.
Right, right. Yeah.
But you don't hear them that often.
No, you don't.
Really don't.
Nope, nope. I've heard fawns calling to their mothers before, and that's a kind of a neat sound. But I don't hear bucks grunt that often, that's for sure.
No, you don't.
And temperature, you're saying temperature really doesn't make a big difference. You could,
well, I mean, when they're in rut, they're in rut.
Right.
But if it's hot, they're probably not going to cover 10 miles. They might only cover 5, you mm-hmm, know, like, because mm-hmm. they're just going to be hot and they're going to slow down.
Sure.
But if there's a buck within 200 yards of you and he hears you,
right,
if it's warm, he's still going to come in.
Sure, sure. You're just saying that they may not have moved into the area as quickly, you know, while you're doing your sequencing, because right. it was warm. So,
yeah.
But other than that, if they're in the area, it's in the rut, they're still going to come.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's see. So you don't rake the trees necessarily, when you're rattling.
I'm just. Because I'm up in the air, and it'd be kind of awkward to do it. So mm-hmm. I think all those kind of things, like I've envisioned, I just never do it. But, you know, like a rope to the alders and shaking
yep.
them and
right.
all that stuff would make a difference.
Sure.
If one was borderline, and that's all it would take to get them to come out in the open.
Right, right. Because I've heard and I've seen online where they rake the trees, they scrape the ground,
yeah,
they're taking their feet and scraping
the deer are doing.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't use any scents, Bob, at all? You don't put out any scent wicks or spray anything down? Nope.
I don't. They come in that area and there's scrapings all over the place.
Right, right.
So I just don't mess with them.
Sure, sure. And we talk about this a little bit about deer density. You know, the higher the density, the more likelihood there's more bucks around to hear you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Because that's what it is. It's more that, you know, you've got deer that can hear you. And you were telling me that, you know, you just had mature bucks come in. You haven't had yearling bucks come in. It's just been bigger deer.
It's most of them that come in have been that, you know, 7-8 point buck, and they're 150 pounds. And mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there's been some 120 pounders and stuff that have mixed in too.
But okay.
It seems like when you get right into it, there's, but you know, I've shot a couple bigger ones close to 200, but mm-hmm. it's, I think if I waited, maybe I'd have a chance. But you know, when you see a 8 point buck, 150 pounds, you hate to pass it.
Right.
Pass it up.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, think what, you know, the younger bucks don't come in. They may be intimidated by the rattling, thinking that there's bigger deer in the area and they may get hurt. They get too close.
I think they might be, and they might come kind of circle and stay a distance away
mm-hmm.
to watch.
Right, right.
But I saw that one time.
Okay, okay.
That I said, wow, that deer looks afraid, you
yeah.
know. But those bikes travel so far, but you just mm-hmm. got to keep trying.
You got to keep trying. So I think you told me that sometimes does will get curious and come in.
Yeah, they want to see what's going on and maybe see who their husband could be.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And you were also telling me that morning, midday, afternoon, it doesn't seem to matter.
Right. I mean, I usually do morning and night, but they're still moving at noontime, too.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I would like to do it then, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things you told me is that you stop before it gets real, real close to sunset because you don't want a deer sneaking in and it's past time, you know, past legal
right,
shooting.
Right. So the latest, the closest is like a half hour before legal shooting, mm-hmm. so I don't like to rattle after that.
Right, right. Okay, okay. And hold that thought, Bob. We're gonna break for a live commercial here for a minute and just talk about General Appliance. And
okay.
I think, as most of you know now, General Appliance in Brewer is retiring. Right, Norm?
Yes, they are at the end of February.
End of February. So Al, Case, Patty, and Andy are retiring. And they thank you for a great run. They said, we thank you guys at Maine Outdoors for promoting General Appliance all of these years. It's been well over 30 years. So they've been with us for a long time. And they've been a terrific supporter of this show. General Appliance and Perkins Appliance has a family history dating back to the early 1900s here in Brewer. Al's great-grandfather, Manly Perkins, was here to start things off. They'll be around till February 28th, so another 16 days, Norm. And right. they have plenty of inventory to sell, so give them a call. They have gas refrigerators, ranges, lights, propane supplies, and the ever-popular Sunmar composting toilets. And as Bob says, ride the wave,
ride the
baby.
You don't want to be saying that too many times
that's
anymore.
Right, that's right. So what's going to happen when they close in February, at the end of February? Well, folks, the situation isn't the best. As everybody knows, sales and service people are stretched pretty thin these days. You have to be patient and be understanding of how things are out there. For your off-the-grid needs, sales, service, and parts, you can shop at Knife Edge Sporting Goods in Millinocket. You can also go to Knife Edge. Also, Knife Edge can also arrange service and propane hookups around the Millinocket area. Main Gas Refrigerator in Burlington. Richards Hardware in Patton. For contact information, to contact these folks, they all have websites, so you can contact them through their websites. And many of them can help you with your off-the-grid needs. For your more traditional household appliances, most dealers such as Dunnett's in Bangor, Brown's in Ellsworth, or McLeod's in the Belfast area, they can help you with sales and parts. And, of course, there's always the Internet. For traditional home appliance service, there are the many independent servicers in the greater Bangor area. Just check online or call us. We can make recommendations for you. We will be here until February 28th. So check in with us for what you might need. And thank you, everybody. And you can still call them at 989-3714. Well, thank you, General Appliance, for supporting this show. It's been an honor to serve you in promoting your business, because they've had just such a quality business for years. Sue and I have gone in and bought stuff from General Appliance and put it in our camp, and it's just been terrific. So we thank you, General Appliance. So let's get back to our guest, Bob Waterman. We still got some other stuff I wanted to go over with you, Bob. So you're not doing soft rattles. You're not mixing up your rattles. It's just straight, the same tone after you bang them together.
Sometimes a couple times I started a little bit earlier in the year just to try it, and I wasn't as aggressive and I didn't do it as long and not as hard. Mm-hmm. And then one time, it was the last Thursday of the month, and I hadn't even rattled the whole week, and I had my bag rattle, and I just did it lightly.
Yeah.
And that buck just came out kind of looking and checking around. So
okay.
It's funny. I get to a point where I just play around with it.
Okay. Know? Well, geez, that's great. That really is encouraging for most of us really have not known what we were doing. So like you were saying, you can't do it wrong, it seems. So that's terrific.
Right, and
the weather doesn't seem to make a difference. Rainy,
well,
snowing.
I do like rainy days for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could say for sure, but just got to get out there.
I like the rain myself as well, as long as it's not really coming down. It's dark, and the deer are animals of the shadows. They like that darker area. They feel safe when it's darker.
Yeah. So, well, you figure, like, some days, because it's dark and you still have 10 minutes left of legal shooting,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times a deer will come in then.
Right. Yeah. They'll start. I like first thing in the morning. It's still a little bit dusky, and the deer will start to move. Later on in the afternoon, just before dark, the deer start to move again. We see it at our home. We have deer come in on our lawn, and I'll say to Sue, "Gee, you know, it's dark day today. We got storm coming in. The deer are going to come, and all of a sudden, boom! They're just before dark, they'll show up, and so you can kind of predict a little bit some of their movements by the time of the day and the weather and things. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
I like you know, inclement weather days. I don't like the, you know, real windy days or when it's really, really coming down hard rain. But other than that, boy, when it's dark and seems like there's weather coming in, it seems like a good time because the deer to move around, they're feeding, and they show themselves a little more, I think. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see. So, I mean, how many days out do you need to do this before you are successful? You're saying it could happen the first day that you go out, or it could be you could do it for a week straight, and then all of a sudden, you know, that eighth day is the one for you.
Right. Okay, so last fall, it was the second Tuesday the second Tuesday of hunting. So the second week, Tuesday.
Yep. Okay.
And a lot of times it is that week.
Right.
Or into the third week.
Yep. Okay. So they say that the peak rut around here in the state is around the 13th of November. And you'll start getting serious about your rattling somewhere around the 7th or 8th of November. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's good stuff. We talked about, you know, whether or not, you know, you could rattle in a buck, you know, in September and the during the expanded, you know, archery time, or certainly in October, you know, when you're archery hunting. You haven't tried it those times, so you're not sure.
No, I'd love to, but I mean, you got to figure, because does get bred in end of October, November, early December. So
right.
The bucks are still somewhat excited.
Sure.
It might not be in the peak, but they're still.
Yeah. So they could be curious enough to come in. You know, you just got to give it a try. It's like anything. You got to experiment and see what works and just kind of keep at it.
And I don't feel like it scares them away.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you do it and then you don't do it for a while.
Right.
I don't feel that I've ruined my whole hunt.
Right. So when these deer come into you, Bob, I mean, they come in with their, you know, head down, aggressive posture, ears back, you know, looking for a fight, or they just come in with a curious posture?
Well, it's funny. Most of them more curious, and but their heads are up and they're looking. I've had a couple nose down sniffing, so they might have been on a doe trail.
Okay.
They heard me because I just felt what they did.
Yep.
But sometimes they're just alert and kind of sneak it in.
Sure. Wow. All right. Well, you're encouraging me more and more to use this technique for sure. Have you ever used deer decoy? Have you ever put a deer decoy out in the field there?
No, I never have. Well, I'm sure that would work.
I bet it would. I mean, and it takes, like, especially if you're on the ground or in a lower stand, because I do have tree stands when I'm bow hunting, and I do have deer look up at me. They might catch a movement. But you're higher up than most of my stands. I've got one that's probably up that high, but most of the time I'm down lower or on the ground.
I have a couple of them looking at me because I had to swing over.
Yeah.
And a couple times I just froze. But now I just keep going because they just kind of look at you and they're curious.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be afraid.
Sure. They don't know what you are.
So I just continued through not worrying about scaring them because they already saw me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've done that a few times.
Sure. Like, I think, like you say, if you did use a decoy, that takes some of their attention off of, you know, where you are. Especially if you're on the ground and you're rattling and, you know, they're thinking that it's coming from that, you know, that buck decoy that you've got out there.
It's like turkey hunting, using decoys.
Just like that.
It's very effective.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had my target out on my lawn and wake up in the morning and it hasn't been that windy. And my buck target's been just dismantled. So I wondered if a buck had come in the night and picked a fight with it.
Yeah. Well, you know what I like as a decoy is a cute little doe that comes walking through.
Oh, there you go. That'll do it.
Yeah.
That would certainly get the buck's attention. Right. Keep the attention off you for sure. Yeah, the buck that I got last fall with my bow, it caught movement of me up in the tree, and I said, this isn't going to happen, and the deer kept, it would put his head down and put its head back up and look right at me, try to catch me moving and stuff, and I'd be in, you know, mid-draw, and then I'd have to let out, and finally the deer put its head down and moved towards me and gave me a shot, but boy, it was, I didn't think it was going to happen because, the deer had caught movement up in the tree. The stand that the seat that I sit in was folded up against the tree and the wind blew and hit the seat and it flipped it and hit me in the behind. And that deer caught that movement. So they do look up and they wonder what you are up there they do get nervous, but. Well, this has been great, Bob. Again, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and we've gone over just about, I think, so many questions that I had, because after I talked with you last fall, I said, well, this is terrific, and then I got thinking about, so many other stuff, and I said, oh, I got to ask Bob this, I got to ask Bob that, and I got thinking, well, this could be a show, because I still think that this is such a great technique, especially with the success that you've had, that it could be a big game changer for most people. And like you say, just got to believe and be persistent at it and keep at it. And you'll be successful with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that you want to add, that we haven't gone over?
Not really. You're pretty thorough, and it's good we've talked a couple times.
Yeah.
You asked some good questions.
Yeah, great. I'm probably, with all these questions, overthinking everything, as we often do, and then kind of get intimidate ourselves not to try it or not to keep doing it because you think like, well, you're doing it wrong because this is going on or that's going on, but it seems to be pretty straightforward stuff, and it's just very encouraging. So
one thing, especially say in the morning, and you're getting there, I'd like to sit there for 10, 15 minutes before I rattle just to kind of let daylight come in.
Because
it could be one standing there and you're reaching for your horns.
Right.
So I kind of wait till I don't see anything.
Right. Just kind of let things settle out around you and they might have heard you get up in your tree or something like that, and they're listening for something that's different. So you don't want to alarm them. You just kind of let things settle out and wait for the woods to wake up, and then all of a sudden you'll start to, okay, it's time, and you'll start to rattle, and hopefully something will come in. Have you had deer come right in, like, right in really early in the morning, just as soon as you got there and started?
It seemed like there was a magical time, like between, it was almost like 6:30, I had a few for a little while that seemed to magically come in around that time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. All right. So it can happen anytime. You just got to be persistent. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Jeez. Well, thanks again, Bob. And I'll let you get back to the game. What's the score, by the way?
It's 21-14. The Eagles are ahead.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you again. Have a great night, and we'll be talking with you.
All right. That was fun. Take care.
Thank you. Okay. We'll see you.
All right.
And for everybody else out there, hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Bob was great. He's been very successful with this technique, and I hope a lot of you get out there and try it. I'm going to try it even more this next season, and who knows, maybe even I'll be successful. So, for all of you out there, again, this has been the Maine Outdoors, and we appreciate you listening to our show, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right. Good evening.